thanks y'all for coming on and talking for a little bit about the band and the new album and everything. And I really dig the sound. There's a whole lot of attitude in it.
Hell yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah. When y'all are actually celebrating 10 years of being a band, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I think we did start playing together in 2010. I don't know if we actually released anything in 2010, but we're at least...
I actually looked the other day.
Did we release anything
in 2010? Yeah, well, it was that EP that we recorded, like four tracks.
Hey, I mean, that counts. That gets us there. Yeah. 10 years, hell yeah.
End of the year.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Well, congratulations on that as well. You know, that's a big deal.
Thank you.
Be a band for that long and be sticking with it and still producing and cranking out good content.
We don't hate each other, I don't think. Right. I don't hate anybody.
At least you can pretend long enough to get to an interview.
Well, so is this the... was this record... Did y'all record this at Sun, or did you do some other stuff at Sun later on?
So we just did some stuff at Sun that hasn't been released yet. That was just kind of a unique opportunity that popped up here in the past couple months. But we recorded this whole album, the new one, in New Mexico.
Okay. Very cool. Well, so what... This is a little bit of an esoteric question. What got each of y'all individually into music, period? What made you decide you even wanted to play?
I mean, for me personally, and I feel like it's probably the same for Wally, Eric, and Matt, is we really just like music. Like, we collect it. If one of us finds a good band, we'll shoot it to the other person. Or if we hear a crazy new song, we just share music so much, and the way I always put it is, performing music is like the heroin of music. Like, once you figure out that you really love a certain song, or you really love a certain band, or you really love a certain album, you eventually start trying to like replicate that feeling over and over again. And creating music is, it's just a natural extension of that.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I just remember being a kid and my dad... my last name's Garcia, right? I'm half Cuban. My dad's full Cuban. He was in like a street band and played like the bongos in New York City. And growing up, he would play on the sink. Like, it was like a steel sink and it had like this tone to it, and he was just tapping on it. And I always wanted to play drums. So I got in drumline I got into band when I was in like middle school, and they made you play like a wind instrument. I played trumpet for 1 year, and like I just cheated off my friend the whole time. I was like, you don't know what the fuck's going on here. I just want to play drums, and like I just got to make it past a year, so I'm not even going to bother. And I ended up playing drums next year, and then in high school I played drumline, and then I met these dudes in college, and yeah, just stuck with it, man.
Very cool. Well, so as a band, the Heavy Eyes, I hear a lot of different influences in the band, and as a compliment, because like I was saying, this new record has a whole lot of attitude with it, and most of y'all records has a whole lot of just like, I don't, it's you definitely hear the kind of the Delta Blues influence, it's good heavy rock. What kind of created the sound that y'all have?
I think one of the more interesting things that I think takes people by surprise is how little we all agree on music. Like, we all listen to such vastly different stuff that Heavy Eyes is kind of the product of what we all agree on. Like, we all have very similar interests when it comes to like super heavy, fuzzy rock or super groovy, like heavy music or whatever. And that kind of ends up being a driving force behind like how we make stuff, or however it goes,
Yeah, definitely. I feel like we come from different places. Like, I keep trying to get Wally in fucking interviews, man. Like, he loves some of the cheesiest 80s music, and it's the weirdest shit to me. Like, I'm not into it for the most part. No disrespect. It just does nothing for me. But he likes some of it. And I'm like, don't know what you're getting out of this, but he does write some of the most badass riffs, yeah. So he's pulling something out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I whatever Wally listens to, I just tell him to keep doing it because, yeah, he ends up coming up with the baddest that shit out of all of us, and he listens to some of the most surprising music, I guess you would say, of anybody, I think.
That's cool. Well, are all of y'all originally from Memphis?
Kind of, sort of. Eric definitely is Tennessee boy from Memphis, but me and Wally, like, grew up in a suburb just outside of Memphis. So, like, I don't know, my whole family's from Memphis, but, you know, I lived in Mississippi and I went to school in Mississippi, but I went to church in Memphis, bought all everything we owned in Memphis. So it's kind of a, you know, we're from Memphis, but not really. And then Matt's kind of the same thing, except he's always been in the state of Tennessee. So we're all definitely greater Memphis area, however you want to put it.
Well, how do you think the South in general, you know, has influenced not only rock and roll, but especially the sound that y'all have? Because it's like you definitely hear there's a different sound to rock and roll that comes from the South. Just like when you listen to rock that comes from Detroit, you know, it's like there's a certain vibe and kind of flavor, even if the band sound totally different. You know, and like you were talking about earlier, you know, to where it's like y'all are drawn to at least the heavy fuzz. You know, one of the things that you can agree on, and that's a big thing that drew me to the band originally. I actually heard y'all's single "One Hand on the Buffalo," and I was like, who are these guys, man? And then all of a sudden, I just kind of, you know, fall down the rabbit hole of checking y'all's music out and stuff. And I was like, oh man. And when I kind of realized that not only it's a good single, but y'all have a discography out, it felt like that I should have known about y'all years ago.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. That's a compliment, man. We'll take it.
Sure. But what is it about, you know, even though that y'all draw from different influences and stuff, it's like there's a certain sound that y'all create that is interesting. It feels familiar, but it's also different. And it was different enough that, you know, originally it was just like, oh, who are these guys? Like, let me check them out.
Yeah, I think, you know, part of that's just Memphis, you know. We play with such a wide swath of bands here because it's a music city, and not only is it a music city, it's a music city with a very proud heritage, you know, like,
absolutely.
I can't imagine them not being proud of, you know, the BB Kings and the Otis Reddings and the Elvises and all that. So it's weird to be in a band from Memphis and just completely ignore that side of the musical spectrum, you know? So we do what we can. I mean, we love heavy rock and heavy music, but the amount of times we get booked with blues bands or some of the more rootsy acts or whatever, you know, we kind of all have always looked at it as like a fun challenge to have like some bluesy stuff, you know, and to also have some fuzz rock stuff, and then just to also just have a bunch of riffs on deck. And I think that kind of slowly went from like a song to song basis to like, you know, inside of songs, we'll have stoner rock parts or blues parts or kind of like some old school rock and roll parts next to some like alterna fuzz parts. You know, it all just kind of gets blurred together. And a big part of that has to be the fact that like we play with so many different types of music here in Memphis.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. I actually made a note the other day, you know, when I was jotting down some talking points and stuff, before we started talking, I made the note Delta/desert rock. And that's kind of, you know, it's kind of like this, like you hear this definite bluesy influence, and you got the old school 70s fuzz in there and stuff. And like, maybe just like a touch of Caius and some things like that, that it's like, it's a cool mixture, you know? And then this new album, what I really noticed about it is that not only you got really good heavy tunes in there, you have also slowed it down too and have some more kind of poignant parts in it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that just kind of naturally comes with time, you know. We our first couple albums are kind of like full of piss and vinegar because we were younger and, you know, just like attacking it, just kind of getting after it, you know, which is fun. I think that's a fun part of a band's history in the beginning when they don't, you know, Led Zeppelin 1's one of my favorite albums, you know. You know, as we got older, like we kind of started writing with more purpose, which is fun too. I mean, I think it's less intentional and more just kind of how we all have curved into it. You know, like we got to make it interesting for us and we got to put challenges on ourselves. And right. One of the challenges we constantly run into is how to not turn everything into like a super jam, but actually write with purpose and like play with purpose, you know, to serve the song and that kind of stuff.
So how do y'all kind of construct songs generally, you know? So, because I know you're in Denver, well, y'all are spread out a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm in Denver. The rest of everyone's in Memphis. But we've been spread out, like, we've lived all over. Tripp was in Austin, Texas for like 5 years. Matt was in San Francisco and then Albuquerque and now back in Memphis. And good old Wally's Southern boy, never left Mississippi, so he ain't going anywhere. But, we've been spread out, and that's been kind of part of the challenge. You know, to Tripp's point, like, when we first started writing, we wrote to, like, a live audience, and we were jamming. And we were writing songs differently. For He Dreams Alliance, Tripp was in Austin. We were sharing ideas remotely, and that was kind of we turned a page with that album, and writing remotely and getting in the studio and, like, knocking it all out as much as we could. That's the same process that we used for the new album as well. So we were just sharing ideas remotely and kicking things around and, you know, linking up when we could. So it kind of just, to Tripp's point, it's kind of just the evolution of our band and how we went on with our lives and, you know, left town but wanted to continue writing music together because it worked. This is just kind of what happened.
No, that's cool. Well, you know, and I've noticed more bands are doing that now because of family ties and just, you know, other external responsibilities and stuff, and people get spread out a little bit, but they're able to stay connected, you know? I mean, not too dissimilar from what we're doing now, you know, and just, it's cool. It's cool that you're able to be able to keep the glue together and still create art and produce.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how has COVID treated y'all? Did y'all have to cancel any tours or?
Yeah, we were supposed to play Stoned and Dusted in California, I think end of May. They had to cancel that. We didn't even have a release show for this album, which we were going to do in Memphis. We were going to do something pretty cool. We were going to rent out a studio where Matt works. And just kind of have like a smaller kind of listening / plan party with just beers and shit and friends. It's going to be cool. Weren't able to do that either. Now we're supposed to be in Europe in October, but, you know, it's just no one really knows what's going on. Yeah. Like the CDC, I feel like their direction kind of changes as they have new information. You know, it's no fault of them. They're just doing everything in real time. So we're just trying to do our best to be respectful of, you know, what everyone's asking us to do from that standpoint. And you know, if we got to cancel, then we got to cancel. But we haven't made that call yet. So as of now, we're supposed to be doing a European tour early October.
Well, that's good. Well, hopefully it'll some of this stuff will settle and y'all be able to
make it
happen.
Yeah, it definitely has. But you know, as of recently, like, I've got an electric kit now, so I've been sharing ideas with the band, and Tripp's already, I've sent Tripp, I don't know how many drum beats I've sent him, but he just kicks back a guitar riff over him, like, every damn time, and it's fucking sick. So, like, I know that we're already spinning out new material, and, like, I'm already, like, I'm like, dude, let's just get in the studio. Like, if we do have to pivot, we can't go on tour, like, we've already, like, let's figure out a way to get in the studio and just start writing more music and cranking it out.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, well, let's touch on that a little bit, you know, because like I was asking earlier about the Sun Records recordings. Is that a side project, or is that something you can talk about, or?
We talked about maybe making it like an EP, or maybe, you know, even including it on the new album. We're still kind of, I mean, we kind of want to go back, honestly. We did one day there, and the way Sun works is that they give tours every day. Mm-hmm. So part of the challenge is you have to break down every night. Like, you can't just leave amps on and all that kind of stuff and come back in the morning and knock it out. Like, so we kind of thought it would be fun to go in there and just see what we get knocked out. We got a couple things knocked out, but we're still not quite sure what we're going to do with them just yet.
That's cool. Well, so yeah. How was it being a big music nerd myself, and being quite familiar with Sun Records and everything? How was it to record in there? Like, what it feel like for you personally, just to be able to even be in there with all the history that it has?
For me, it felt. I mean, for all of us, it felt great. Just, you know, like you said, like, there's so much deep history there, so it's really, really special to be in a room where so many badasses have recorded over the years. And, like, even some of the like, there's even, you know, like, U2 recorded there. Not that I would categorize them as a, you know, a badass, even though, like, you know, they're great in their own right. I'm not necessarily my cup of tea, but, you know, they're great. The drum kit that's in there was the one that they recorded on some album. I don't even know. So it was kind of cool just to play even just a kit that, you know, U2 played on. But seeing all the gear, like, I'm just a dumbass drummer, man. Like, I don't know what I'm looking at when I'm looking at a guitar. Like, they all look cool as shit. And, like, you know, I'm just, like, looking at them and going down the row, like, dude, tell me about this one. And Tripp's good buddy that got us in there was, I think he may also do tours there. I don't really know. But he knew the history of the place, like, the back of his hand. So he was just walking around, like, this is a guitar on this. This is a guitar on this. This is such and such's guitar. So, I mean, it was just really cool to be in there.
Yeah, and, like, one of the things that, you know, Daniel won't even shy away from, who has an awesome act himself named Crockett Hall, you should check out, but is the fact that because they're Sun, people just give them badass shit, like, all the time. Like, if you have seen a pedal or something that you want, and you're like, man, one day when I have an extra $500, I'm going to buy that Geranium boost pedal or whatever, you can walk into Sun and they probably have it because the guy who started the company went on a tour there and was like, oh, I'll send you some fuzz pedals or whatever. So the amount of just killer equipment in that place, from microphones to guitars and all that, it's just insane, man. It's an awesome feeling stepping in that room, for sure.
Yeah, no, that's very cool. Yeah, I've taken the tour there with my girl. Actually, we went to we did a roundabout trip over to Nashville and then stopped in at Memphis and stuff. Both towns are really cool, and a lot of people think it's only country, which is not true at all. And there's a mixture of all types of genres in both towns. And and yeah, it's like Sun Records. It's like when we walked in there, we were honestly taken back, you know, because we're fans of I'm fans of just really all types of music, but, you know, especially, well, Howlin' Wolf is one of my favorite performers, and of course, you know, Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley and Carl Perkins and Ike Turner and all those guys, and also to be in the same room that Jerry Lee used to wail on. And on the on that upright piano that's in there and stuff too. So,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, did they show you where he put his cigarette out?
Yeah.
On the keyboard?
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was very cool. There's just so much history in there, and then you walk in, you just kind of feel it too, you know, when you're walking in there.
Yeah, it's indescribable, really.
Yeah.
Did you have a chance to go to Stax while you were in Memphis?
Yeah, we did.
It's like one of my favorite museums, and I think Sun Studios is badass for what it is, but for whatever reason, Stax just, like, supersedes it to me. Like, the amount of material that Stax cranked out, like, the amount of badasses that they pushed out, I mean, it's crazy the town, Memphis, pushed out a ton of music, and Sun, you know, part of that legacy as well, but, like, something about Stax, man, something so cool. That tour's awesome.
Yeah, we also got really taken back by the Johnny Cash Museum. in
I've never done the Nashville Cash Museum.
It's pretty incredible. They have a ton of memorabilia from in personal belongings and stuff, and they have like a one of my favorite things is that they have a whole wall of just singles that he produced over the years, you know, with all the original singles and sleeves and stuff. And that was one of my favorite things, honestly.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
But yeah, there's just such a rich history with both towns, but especially Memphis, you know, and it's cool that y'all have that in your portfolio and in your background too, you know, being from that area and also being able to record there and stuff and produce music. I think a lot of those guys would be quite proud of.
Yeah, it's cool living in Memphis because the music community is, I feel like it's not too big. So you meet tons of people. And like, we recorded the last album at Arden, which was a really, really fun experience too, because Arden is like one of those studios in Memphis that has a lot of history as well. And that was a great experience.
Well, very cool. Awesome, guys. Well, so are y'all gonna try and possibly do like some sort of virtual release party for the album possibly, or is that ship sailed? Or
I mean, now I feel bad. I feel like we should have done something, but I don't know. We just like everybody else, we got kind of just blindsided by all right. of the things that are happening. It's kind of hard to focus on, you know, music and stuff with everything that's going on. We would like to. We've talked about it, but I mean, also Eric being in Denver, I don't know when is reasonably responsible for him to start flying right. or whatever. You know, it's all a mess now.
right.
Well, you could do.
What's that?
I was gonna say you could do a Zoom release. You know.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah, that shit's gonna be way off time. I'm sorry, Trip. Yeah, but we'll we've talked about coming into Memphis and doing some stuff. So if we could coordinate it, we would do a live release or you know something of that. It's just a matter of nailing the time down and you know having time to get out there and. Not a quick drive, and I don't really know that I want to fly right now either, so I would have to drive. And, yeah, I mean, logistically, it's just a point.
Yeah, you know.
And we're always teetering with, like, is this responsible? Because, you know, they'll right. make stuff legal, but there will be people being like, you shouldn't make this legal yet, you know, right. so we don't want to get caught in the crosshairs yeah. and all that, you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that you have released the album at least. So yeah. that people can listen to it. So we'll do everything on our end to promote it.
Hell yes. Thank you. Please. So
what are y'all's personal favorite singles out of the album?
I personally like Hand of Bear.
Hand of Bear's yours?
Yeah, it's just got that groove, man.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're all my babies. So I love them all.
Late Night, too.
Yeah, I think Late Night's probably my favorite just because, like, we got to use a baritone guitar and octaves and shit, and that's always fun. It's a fun experiment when you start getting weird with it.
Yeah, I got to play around a little bit.
Yeah. They're all fun, man. I enjoy playing those because we were, even before we released it, you know, we had a couple of those tracks. Well, I guess the history of that is we recorded it, like, we started the recording process a year before we released it. And then we just had a bunch of, you know, back and forth and I had to come to Memphis and re-track some drums for Made for the Age, which was really difficult to record. Matt wrote that song and there's just so many different changes and it really challenged me. It was really good. My point is we played a couple of those tracks live and like, The Profession is a really fun one to play live. It's just like got this swagger to it.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it for the whole album. You know, I was saying attitude. Swagger is another good modifier for it.
For sure, man. Yeah, hopefully crank out more of those.
Absolutely. Well, very cool, guys. Well, guys, thank you for taking the time out of your day and talking a little bit just about music and stuff.
Yeah, man.
Thanks for having us, man. We enjoyed it.